You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Houston Texans are now fielding offers on Deshaun Watson, who is reported to camp. Howard Eskin is saying that one of the teams involved, he's saying Philadelphia, obviously, because he's in Philadelphia, but he's hearing Miami, and a lot of people are talking about Miami as a possibility because Miami has the draft pick. So I really don't know where to start on what the value of this person is right now when you don't know where this is going to end up. Criminally, you don't know where it's going to end up civilly. You have to assume that this is going to end in a suspension no matter what, right? You're going to lose a quarterback.
By the NFL, you're saying.
You're going to lose the quarterback for how long? You're going to lose half a season of the quarterback. And this stuff is messy, right? Because we're talking about possibly criminal behavior, but this is where we are. We're talking about a guy who has value in his prime at a time that you do not see this in this sport, where the quarterbacks, Stugatz, who have a link to their team in this conservative sport, whether it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or now Deshaun Watson in his prime, where that guy is going to leave when he still has value. But right. It appears that the Texans are now going to get rid of Deshaun Watson. So what's he worth? It's a question I ask without knowing how to answer it.
The report, just so we're clear, is from Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, okay? And they're saying from Good Morning Football on NFL Network, they're saying the Texans are now willing to take offers and it's going to cost a lot. So they're getting this information from the organization, and they're also saying it's going to cost whatever team is interested and wants him. It's going to cost him a lot. I just don't know how much you give up for a guy when there's, you know, where there's so much mystery surrounding him and his future.
You say it's going to cost a lot. I feel like
saying that.
Okay, but I feel like I can say it's going to cost less than it ever would have at this point.
Probably.
Because of what surrounds him. You are going to get him a quarterback in his prime who is excellent. You are going to get him cheap. You can say a lot. I don't know what that means. Jay Cutler, what did Jay Cutler end up going for? Older than Deshaun Watson. At the time, Jay Cutler and the entire position has changed where the kind of quarterback that Jay Cutler is isn't where the sport is evolving to. But Jay Cutler cost a substantive amount of money, and it's the last time I can remember a quarterback. I mean, Peyton Manning toward the end, but it's the last time I can remember a quarterback that we felt was good being available at an age that was young. And again, it wasn't this young.
It was 2 firsts and a 3rd for Jay Cutler.
If you're another NFL team, though, and you do end up making an offer to trade for Watson, how do you expect your fan base to react to that and to be okay with you giving up any amount of picks to have this guy on your team while there's still 23 accusations out there in a criminal investigation that is nowhere near being completed yet.
It's one of the reasons that I find it fascinating, because it is the tension between, do you want your business, and especially that business, to be in the morality business if you can get better, when your fan base desperately wants to get better. It cuts right through it. All of those interviews about character stuff, here it is right here. Enormous value available to you at a position that will set you for 10 years if he stays out of jail. Like, that's how clean cut this is. And I do wonder how you explain that to your fan base, because what you're going to get if you trade for this guy, enormous value, with this still not having some resolution, you're going to get picketing outside of your stadium. You're going to get perpetual noise that you do not want around your huddle.
And what kind of message does this send to the 23 accusers who are now watching someone who they accused of sexual misconduct get fanfare when he is inevitably traded? Like, he's not going to get traded, and they're going to, whatever team ends up trading him is going to end up saying, like, oh, well, we're not that excited about him. We just gave up 2 first round picks, but like, you know, who knows? Like, it's going to be a whole thing, right? And I think it just sends a terrible message that we're even talking about this. Personally, I don't understand why he wasn't put on the NFL's commissioner's exempt list already.
Like Trevor Bauer was?
It's similar. Yeah. I mean, it's the type of I think Antonio Brown like was on it recently. I'm trying to think of more examples, but basically it kind of just puts you in a status of you're not playing because the NFL has deemed that something happened and they want to look into it further. And right now the NFL is conducting this investigation, which anytime the NFL is conducting the investigation, they're obviously going to look at it from the perspective of a organization that wants to protect its star players. Right. I don't think like it's the comparison, you can't compare it to a criminal investigation in terms of fairness, but I don't know why he wouldn't be put on the exempt list already when there are all of these credible accusations.
But if he's not on the exempt list, then what is your job as a franchise? Is it to make your team better, or is it to wait around for the league to make a moral decision for you?
Yeah, it's the distinct lack of clarity that makes this nearly impossible. By the way, the history of the exempt list, you mentioned Antonio Brown, Michael Vick in 09, Jonathan Vilma during Bounty Gate, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, Josh Brown, Reuben Foster, and Kareem Hunt have all been on the commissioner's exempt list, just as players have been pulled off the field and say, this is out of the team's hands. And that is ultimately where the dilemma lies, is that this has not been taken out of the team's hands. And so if a team's looking to upgrade a quarterback, then you have to at least explore the notion, figure it out, as the Ravens owner once said, pray on it. But, you know, and figure out what the best way to make this decision is, because there's a distinct lack of clarity. Yes, there are dozens of accusations, but none of it has been proven in a court of law. No civil suits have been settled yet. So it is a lack of clarity that makes it such an impossible decision.
It does make you wince, though, that a guy who was accused of all of these things might get exactly what it is that he wanted in the first place, which is to be out of Houston, to be traded to a different team, to a better opportunity. That makes you wince a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, that wish came before the accusations, right?
Right. Like, now you have the accusations, right, and he's still going to be granted his wish, it appears.
Yeah.
Billy, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Dilemma or dilemma? And I also liked how Whittingham, as Jessica says correctly, should we even be talking about this? I think once Ian Rappaport reports that the Texans are fielding offers, I believe it makes it fodder for conversation, no matter how uncomfortable it is. But I do love that Whittingham not only stated, look, this is awfully murky, but then limped in with, explore the notion, figure it out. Just an explore, like, I don't know what to do, but explore the notion, figure it out. Okay, here's the hot potato for you, front office guy who doesn't want people around his stadium picketing and on the news saying, hey, your quarterback is a criminal. Your quarterback is a sexual assaulter.
NFL franchises are businesses in that, yes, they need to win games, but they also have to think about PR and the fan base that they represent and people who will purchase tickets to go to their games. I don't think I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, the vast majority of fans would be fine with your team trading for Deshaun Watson because they will win more games. But there are fans who will care a lot about it, and there will be tremendous pushback to any franchise that does try to trade for Deshaun Watson, especially right now, while there are still a lot of questions in the air.
You got to kick the tires on this one, Dana. I mean, you do. It's Deshaun Watson. He's 25 years old. He could change your entire organization for the next 15 years. I love when you kick tires. I mean,
you were just wincing and cringing
a second ago.
Yeah. And then
I imagine him in a jet uniform. I mean,
you were wincing and cringing. I believe a lot of people are going to end up doing some version of that. Why I find it interesting from a Dolphin perspective is, yeah, maybe you say immediately, of course, I'd give up on the entire Tua thing right now if it was Deshaun Watson 10 months ago.
Right.
Or 12 months
of course,
ago.
Yes.
But if you do it now, how loudly are you telling your fan base, yeah, it's just winning? If you do it now and say, never mind that we just are getting a guy who's accused of all this stuff and we have no idea how long he's going to be gone for, but also we're telling you the guy we took last year isn't the guy anymore and we're willing to take this diluted percentage of Deshaun Watson that doesn't just come with good teammate excellence. Remember, when we first talked about Deshaun Watson before all of this, he's model citizen guy.
Yes.
Before all of this.
He's the guy you would want as the face of your organization.
He's
yes.
good teammate guy in terms of what it is that we knew about him. And now I find this part, no matter how cringy you find the conversation and no matter how uncomfortable you find the conversation, this is a conversation we've been having in sports for so long about where do you sacrifice your principles, about good players versus good people, and what are you saying as an organization when you're representing a region? If the league is telling you and the Texans are telling you, this guy is in play, and this guy's never in play.
Ever. Like,
he's never available at this age with this kind of excellence. And making it more difficult is the reports say he wants to be down here. He wants to be in Miami. So I don't have an answer for you. I can't. This is not clean for me. Jessica, would you be willing to say, as it regards your team, that, period, you do not want this person on it?
I mean, take it from me, Dan. Having to cheer for a team that is led by a quarterback who has been accused of, whether it's misconduct or assault, it takes a lot of the fun out of sports. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that or thinking that. And I think there are a lot of fans who are perfectly okay with it and who say, well, innocent until proven guilty, never proven in a court of law, I don't care. And sure, but I think there are a lot of fans who do care and would find it very difficult to root for a franchise that knowingly traded for this person after these accusations were made.
What do you do, though? So there's a distinction you're making because you're a Steelers fan, and Ben Roethlisberger was gone for a few games, and I believe if that happened now, it would have been more games, and it would have been more complicated because this was something that was not quite having the same light and antenna around it when it happened to Ben Roethlisberger as it would now. I remember ESPN came under fire because they didn't even immediately get into the fray of reporting it, where it appeared
right.
that he was being protected. That's not how it would be today. So your team specifically, you're making a distinction between trading for a guy and rooting for a guy who's already there?
I'm not making the distinction, but I think from the perspective of the franchise, protecting a player who already is on your team is something that we see a lot. And I think had this happened a year ago to Deshaun Watson, we would see the Houston Texans doing that for him. There is a difference when you are a team who is taking someone who you know has had credible accusations or, you know, any accusations against them, misconduct or assault or whatever it is, and then saying, we're okay with all of that. We know that that's out there. We find that winning games is more important than all of the things in this person's past.
I wonder, because of our audience, because of the sports audience, because the football audience is more male than female, if there is a gender-specific difference in how it is the math is done on these calculations, whether a man or male fan of a team is less likely to have it absorbed that personally, where it becomes difficult to root for your team in any way. I wonder if there's some sort of gender specific difference, because I am simply used to the male fan being okay with almost any behavior as long as it makes his team better. Whatever that is, doing a separation of message and messenger and saying, I just want my feel good. I want my team to be better.
But if you trade for him and he's playing on the field, he's paid whatever penalty he's had to pay, correct? Sorry about my voice.
No, that's not true. It's still
a rough weekend.
It's all murky. All of it is
voice.
$5.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a bit harsh.
You still haven't dealt with it, though, Stugatz. It's still there.
You haven't turned off your mic. You're just powering. At least it's not sensitive subject matter or anything.
Have I dealt with it? There we go. He's paid whatever penalty he had to pay.
He hasn't whether it's yet, the league.
No, Dan, if he's playing, if you trade for him and he's on the field and you're cheering for him, he has paid whatever penalty that's been levied to him by the NFL, and therefore, and also then he hasn't got to jail. So
he reported to training camp. If he's not on the exempt list right now, if the season started today, ostensibly he would be their starting quarterback without serving any kind of penalty. They have not navigated these waters. There has been no penalty. It's why we're talking about it. This has not been determined. We're not talking about bringing back Michael Vick after he's been in jail. We're talking about somebody who's headed toward the penalties. And what do you trade for him if you haven't seen any of the penalties?
But even in the aftermath of the penalties, Stugatz, Ben Roethlisberger, this happened to him when? More than a decade ago?
Yep, no, I understand.
And we still bring it up. Like, this will be forever inextricably linked with Deshaun Watson. He is this guy now, unless through the court of law, through whatever, it's proven that the accusations were flagrantly wrong, which seems impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is this guy now. If you are taking him on, no matter the punishment, you are taking on this character, so
right.
to speak.
Yep. No, it's totally fair. Chris Mortensen has weighed in here, and he said, according to two league executives, it's going to be a combination of five high draft picks and starting caliber players. That's a lot, man.
Well, it would also tell you that they're not doing any of this morality if that can be the asking price and the asking price is received. It will tell you flatly, no matter what the conversation is after that, we are assigning this value, enormous value, to a person who has enormous value, and we're almost doing the measurements without even taking into account the character stuff.
Regardless of what happens, and if he does get suspended and miss some games, or there is punishment, or there is even criminal investigations that find that he's guilty, the accounts that I've read and that many of us have read of the things he's been accused of are difficult to read, and those are out there forever. And if you're a fan of whatever team he ends up on, you have to grapple with the fact that this person was accused of doing these things, and now you're cheering for a team where he is your star quarterback. And I think that that's something that you can't really put a number on or quantify or really explain, other than it feels really icky. And I've dealt with this for years. The Ben Roethlisberger accusations happened when I was very young. I didn't even really understand what sexual assault was. I didn't understand the nuance in the accusations and what happened. I truly didn't fully understand it until I was much older and went back and read some of the police reports from that, the Georgia incident. And then there was another incident in Lake Tahoe. And I still have difficulty with some of that. I have a Ben Roethlisberger jersey that I used to wear when I was younger before any of this happened, right? So it's really hard sometimes to have to understand those things and figure out how to think about them when you are a fan of a sport and you are a fan of a team or a league, and this constantly happens and there's really no black and white to it. There's a lot of gray, and either way, no matter what happens to Deshaun Watson, there's a lot of fans who are going to be very upset, and the message that it sends to the accusers and to people who have been through things like this, to see a powerful man get to come away with it with a lot of money, leading a team, whatever team it ends up being, that's hard for a lot of people to see.
And to kind of answer your point about how gendered this is, I do think that as this subject matter has reached the general consciousness more, that gender dynamic has shrunk, but it is still there. I think it's also just as you said, football fandom in particular seems to draw a by any means necessary approach to winning games, right? I think most fans, however it is we got to win, let's win. And I do think that there will be a difference when it comes down to rooting for Deshaun Watson amongst the genders, but there's also just for whatever reason, this sport seems to draw the most, what Aaron Rodgers is doing is more counterproductive to a fan's priorities than what Deshaun Watson did. And it sucks, but it's true.
it's a difference of degrees, too, among the genders, right? The more personal it becomes to you. Do you have daughters? Do you have a wife who was a victim of this?
Are you a survivor?
Anthony Bourdain, if you saw the documentary on him, Roadrunner, it's excellent, dove headfirst in the Me Too movement when he fell in love with somebody who was at the center of the Me Too movement. How personal is it to you? And of course, it's going to be something that unless you are a man of extraordinary empathy, it's going to feel different to you than it might feel if you're the other gender. But it's so complicated that I do believe that Chris Whittingham has had the hottest of the takes here, and I believe it should speak for all of us. Explore the notion, figure it out.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again? Or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Katie Ledecky is fast, huh?
Oh, my God.
She
lost, though.
No, but she just... She finished. She finished
lost, yeah, but I was glued. Olympic swimming gets me every goddamn time, man.
Yeah, what's the guy's name? Rowdy?
Rowdy Gaines. Oh, Rowdy's what a great a ledge, announcer. Man. Yeah.
Rowdy's a ledge because he just gets you so excited.
He really does.
I think Katie Ledecky just set a Olympic record in the 1500 freestyle, not even in the final. This was like a qualifying heat, and she set an Olympic record.
She did. I think she has 9 of the 10 records in that in the 1500 meter free. I know a lot about swimming suddenly.
I also didn't know that Kathleen became Katie.
Yeah. I thought Catherine.
Kathy.
I thought.
Wait, you go to Notre Dame, you meet a lot of Kathleen's named Katie.
Mm.
Pretty much everyone there.
I thought Catherine was Katie. I didn't realize Kathleen was Katie.
I love seeing Kevin Durant's middle name on the graphic during the. It's Wayne, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
So Wayne Durant?
Yes.
So do they put middle names up for everyone?
Apparently, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just saw KD's.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Did you know that Kevin Durant's middle name was Wayne? I did want to get to the audience some of Billy's barbed wire comments on, I don't know who you're referring to or who you're most mad at, whether it's Jennifer or Ben. Do you have a specific...
Benifer?
Is one of them is one of them the subject of your ire more than the other, or is it just them as a union?
It's just enough of them. They're making a mockery of love. Love doesn't exist. They don't like each other. I'm just going to go right out and say that. I don't know that for a fact, but I know that for a fact. They don't like each other. They like attention, and that's what they're doing. They're recreating photos from 20 years ago that they took. Just enough. Enough. Stop giving them attention.
I'm sorry, but how can you look at that photo of them and think love isn't real? I mean... Jennifer looks amazing. It was her 52nd birthday. She looked incredible.
What?
Ben Affleck looked like
shit.
Better
just
than he's
that.
Looked.
No. He looked horrible.
No, Ben Affleck looks horrible.
And keep your shirt on because we don't want to see that stupid dragon tattoo.
He looks better than he has looked in 30 years. No. Like, love has brought the wrinkles off their faces and made them more alive. They like look. He looks amazing.
This looks like it's for a magazine or for like
exactly.
A catalog or something. This isn't
that's
real.
That's what this love is in 2021.
Actors for hire who are trying to show off a shirt that's for sale.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are Ben and Jennifer making a mockery of love? Whittingham, were you surprised that she's 52 or what was happening?
Yeah. There? Yeah. 52 struck me. And I did see, what was the movie that she was in where she plays a stripper?
Hustlers.
Great movie, by the way. But like, I knew, and that's only a couple of years old, I knew that at 49, 50, she was still incredible looking. But I just pulled up this Instagram of her celebrating her 52nd birthday. She's old enough to be my mom.
Fly girl, you're still a fly girl or whatever it is that I said. I will just...
You know what I do when I'm in love, Dan? I go on vacations. I don't take professional photographers to capture my love and put on Instagram. Right. I just kind of enjoy love.
Yeah, but you're not rich. You would do it if you were rich.
I don't think you know.
I'm not certain. I'm not certain Billy would do that.
Okay,
if
maybe
were rich.
Billy wouldn't, but I feel like most rich people would.
Most like professional athletes, like their best friends are photographers, so they can chronicle every moment. Like if you like go, if you search on Instagram and look through anyone's entourage, it usually includes a photographer.
How about you just be in love? To Billy's point,
exactly.
That's it. Stop publicizing your love. Okay, you
Keep
love someone.
Yourself.
Stop telling everyone.
You say that, but we're in the age of you publicize your sandwich for lunch. Like,
right,
I mean, there's nothing that's not being publicized. Every place I walk, someone's taking a selfie to show someone else how much they're living.
I understand that, but I've never publicized my love to Abby. I don't do it. I don't do like the Facebook post on our anniversaries. I just don't do it, Dan. Like, I love her, and that's it. I'm not certain she loves me back. That's part of the reason I don't do it, but I love my wife. I don't need to tell everyone how much I love my wife or show everyone how much I love my wife. I'm still married to her after 20 years. That means I love her.
You're not J-Lo, Stugatz. You're not J-Lo.
You're not even Ben Affleck.
It's true.
You're just low.
Hey-o.
I am her age.
I'm younger.
That's a far more scathing indictment.
Yeah, that's bad.
Look at my body in a bikini.
No.
And look at hers. Billy, what is it that got you mad? Was it the ass rubbing?
It's just too much. I don't believe that it's real. I just don't believe that it's real. You believe that they're in love, that they were meant to be, that they broke up 20 years ago or however long it was, and now all of a sudden they found each other and realize, oh, you know what I needed? Jennifer Lopez. Or you know what I needed? Ben Affleck this whole time. It's honestly making me question the whole A-Rod thing, too.
I think that's what's at play here. Billy is burnt from how much he invested in the Jennifer Lopez, Alex Rodriguez relationship. It looked so real on Instagram.
Are you mad on behalf of A-Rod? Is that what's happening here? That Ben is radiant and he is getting those youthful juices that A-Rod had to go to the pharmacy to get, and you're mad on behalf of Miami's own Alex Rodriguez?
I guess I thought that it was real and that love meant something and it's something that you had to work hard for. And now I'm learning love don't cost a thing.
Jessica, I believe that we owe you an apology.
What?
As I thought that deserved something. I don't know what it was. Something.
Oh, it got something. I mean,
explore the option, figure it out.
Kick the tires.
I wanted to get into an apology to Jessica because the audience buried us for our lack of food knowledge as a show. And I don't know what we're doing this week, so that Jessica has to endure some sort of food challenge because she enjoys her eating and she claims to be a monumental eater. But she told us that she had two Chipotle burritos that we were not familiar with as a show, none of us. And Juju mentioned to us that each of those was like 10 pounds a piece. And then Whittingham, by way of apology when she came in today, now that she's officially down here, immediately accused her of lying.
Yeah, there's no chance that she ate two Chipotle burritos. I'm aware of the girth of a Chipotle burrito. I was just too busy searching for what a mini was. And so I couldn't figure, I didn't register that she admitted on the air or accused or posited that she'd eaten two Chipotle burritos. If you get anything in those burritos beyond just the meat that it comes with, it is unable to be wrapped. I don't know why they stuff the burritos to the point where they literally can't enclose them. You eat three quarters of one and you're ready to have a baby. I can't fathom having two.
Baby. Yeah, I mean, they were pretty big. That was the whole point. It was a lot of food, and I ate two of them in college.
Just no chance. There's no chance.
What would she have to do with these minis that would impress you, Whittingham, and make you not accuse her of lying? If she were, and Jessica, are you worried at all? Because you said you could eat 1,000 nuggets at a tailgate, and you said you could eat 25 of these minis.
She did this once in college? Is that it? One time?
The burritos, yes, one
okay.
time.
It was a one-time thing.
It was a one-time thing.
Was it a challenge or were you just particularly hungry?
I was really hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any particular reason? Or?
Just normal hunger.
Right. Normal two burrito hunger. So where are we with where we're going to put this number in a way that's going to impress the group, Jessica, where you feel, well, you, this began because we did not know that we had hospitalized Billy and a kidney stone needed to be removed because
it was missing for days. You didn't know?
I thought that it was a bit. I think the audience thought it was a
There's
bit.
There's a distinct lack of question asking around here. Billy just waltzes in the next time, you know, go, hey, so what happened?
I absolutely did not think that the onion is what hospitalized you.
I think I sent you pictures from the ER.
I did. I must have thought that you were just having a kidney stone. I didn't realize that we had done that to you with the bucket of death. That was unclear to me. Stugatz, what are you here like if you knew and you were calling Billy at the hospital every day?
I was checking in on him. I went to visit him.
And
I
mean, visiting him.
To be fair, it is hard to get from mentally, raw onion equals kidney stones. Like, I'm still really confused about that. I know you explained it to us and I'm not doubting that it happened.
I was on your side with this burrito thing, but I think I'm starting to
No, I'm just saying I'm defending Dan because in my mind, if I heard you had a kidney stone after you ate a raw onion, I'd be like, huh, coincidence. Good thing you were already in the hospital and they found the kidney stone.
He should be thanking us for this.
I really didn't think that put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Did you think there was a circumstance that eating a raw onion would hospitalize you? Because I did not. That's an oversight by me. It's a lack of knowledge.
And an errant spray of Febreze as well. Onion plus Febreze equals kidney stone is an odd one.
It is pretty disgusting. It's the reason it was on the grid of death. And I believe you were supposed to eat the entire onion. How much of it did you actually eat? Because you took a bite.
Too much of it.
Yes. Yeah,
and it's not happening again.
I'm not.
I see where this is going. No. This is not happening.
Why would we be headed there?
I'm not looking to hospitalize you, but did you even eat half of the onion?
Yes, I think. I don't remember. I try to black that out, forget about it, keep it in the past, not remember. And then here we go. We're going to find this out. And then it's going to be playing all day today. Stugatz's weekend observations, Billy eating the onion.
Can you just get the sound, Chris, that we wrestled away from ESPN because it was such a distinct sound?
We got this sound. We felt sick on his behalf, you and I. I mean, seriously. But
it seems like you guys are devastated.
Not so sick that I thought you would actually be hospitalized. I could see where all of that would harden into a great resentment.
Before we get to Billy eating an onion, I looked this up, and so I want to just play. Let's just clear out our inventory here. So
all of you are having the same reaction. 50 for J-Lo. How? And congratulations, J-Girl, because you're fly girl. You're still a fly girl.
Just want to make sure we clear that up. Now here's Billy eating an onion.
Oh, my God. Straight to the emergency room. Oh, my God. Stop it.
Jessica, what are we at with a number for? I don't want to hospitalize you. I just want to make it something that makes you feel like you have accomplished something. And if it's also hard for you to move around at the end of the show, that would also be good.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's for everyone else to determine.
So I think we should do it on a caloric basis. So each mini, which again is a tiny biscuit with a piece of chicken in the middle, is 90 calories. And so what would be an amount of calories, 1,200, 1,500?
Mark Wahlberg said that eating 11,000 calories a day was not any kind of fun. You just mentioned about, 2,500 calories if she had, less than that, if she had 25 of these minis. I don't actually know what you guys would find impressive for a woman of her size to eat, because we were somehow unimpressed by these 10-pound burritos because we didn't know what these burritos were. So what?
No, that's super impressive.
What does the number have to be? If she says she can
also
eat
not possible
25, should we put the number at 30?
Jesus.
I think 25 is good. I think if you can knock down 25 minis, because your order, if you go to Chick-fil-A and order minis, you get an order of four, right? So if you're downing 6-7 orders of minis, that's what you'd see in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Jessica, are we agreeing to terms on this? Where are you with, I don't want you to have a great discomfort, but I do want you to eat an amount that explains to everybody that you are an exceptionally large eater.
I will contact my agent, and then we'll come back to the table with a counter.
Wow. Okay. Well done.
We have another thing that we're trying to get a payoff for around here, which is Amin El-Hassan is headed to Milwaukee. He is going to Milwaukee, and he is organizing his own guerrilla shame, where he's talking to bars and radio stations and dunk tank operators, and he is going to fill a dunk tank with beer, and people are going to be able to go out and shame the ESPN analyst who had one of the legendary bad takes that the Bucks were one of the worst finals teams ever. There are a lot of teams that have been swept in the finals. One of the worst finals teams ever, and they win the championship, and the Bucks would not win another game in the series after being down 0-2, and they went the rest of the season undefeated. They never lost again and won't lose for many months since Amin El-Hassan said they would not win again.
But I love that he's taking his own shame into his own hands. That I mean, who does that?
He says that players and coaches, well, you have a little trouble with accountability, so I understand why it is that you would arrive at who does that. But he is inviting players, coaches, anyone who wants to come dunk him into a vat of beer, because Milwaukee is known for its beer. But I don't know how to get that payoff live. I love our show live. We did a great show last week off of Bezos being ridiculous and flying to space. We've got some Olympics that we're going to be able to tune in here. Everybody's all of a sudden a gymnastics expert. We come over every 4 years and we're like, we've been sitting on the couch. Hey, Simone, you stepped out there. I understand that you're the best ever, but how about you not choke on behalf of the country? We all gather around. I understand that you've done things that nobody in the sport has ever done, but how about you not cough up on yourself there?
Gymnastics and swimming. That's what we become experts in. I love swimming. I was glued to it last night.
I was critiquing the U.S. women's 3-on-3 basketball team over the weekend. They're playing Mongolia, I think, which apparently in Mongolia, 3-on-3 basketball in the women's game has become a thing. And it took a while for the U.S. in order to dispatch of the Mongolians. I wasn't too pleased with their performance.
Do you guys see that robot, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
That was shooting half-court shots.
Great form.
He should play for Team USA. What were they doing that for? That had to be for a crowd, right, that doesn't exist? Why else would there be a robot walking around during halftime or timeout or
no,
whatever?
It's for the social video, which they got, right? All the reporters in the arena are like, wow, basketball playing robot. We're heading for robots playing basketball, right?
But I'm with Billy. Like, replace JaVale McGee with a robot. Yeah. I mean, come on, McGee is on our team. That's why we're bad.
Guys, I have an update on the Amin situation. I will be boots on the ground with Amin in Milwaukee, we want to make it live. We can try and make something happen.
Wait, there's a plane ticket for you booked in Milwaukee?
I already booked it and the hotel. Amin and I are going to be out there at whatever.
What's going on here?
I think it's McGillicuddy's, actually. We're going to be at McGillicuddy's pub in Milwaukee. Yeah,
boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Nice.
In typical Amin fashion, this has to end with him just being at an empty bar, right? With no one caring that this is going on and no one knowing who he is.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, he might get more dunk tank visitors in his native Phoenix, because he is getting scorched for his Monty Williams take that he had in the YouTube show after the NBA Finals victory, where Monty Williams went into the locker room and Amin criticized it as a look at me moment. And the Phoenix fans were not pleased.
Called him "Look at me, Louie," and then had to suffer.
That's a great Cody line.
He had to suffer the indignity of Giannis saying on SportsCenter. I think that Malika Andrews did this to Amin on purpose, because it was billed as the uncut tapes or the leftovers, and Giannis admits, yeah, I invited Monty into the locker room. I welcomed him in. I turned down the music. I told everybody that it was Giannis's doing. It wasn't look at me, Louis doing. It was Giannis's doing. But Amin is now being viewed as bitter ex-Suns employee, and he's just
that's what every headline said, like the Black Sports Online headline. Line was former Suns executive criticizes Monty Williams.
People are so mad at him. How dare you say the thing about our beloved Monty Williams? And furthermore, let's examine the thing that they're objecting to. How dare you call the great and wonderful Monty Williams "look at me, Louie," huh?
How could you?
He's not "look at me, Louie." He was invited in. The things that people
people get mad about in sports.
He's such a good guy, Monty Williams. You can't criticize him.
He's not a look at me, Louie. He would never do anything that's look at me, Louie-ish. He's Monty. He's wonderful. It's so great. These Phoenix Suns fans and just everyone in the finals, they're just looking for the person who said the awful thing because most people didn't care enough to say anything awful.
Yeah, the Heat fans in 2011 are warding off every member of the national media. All the Suns fans got is Amin, and Amin will do.
When is this happening, by the way, since plane tickets have been booked?
Yeah.
We are going Tuesday, and we'll be actually doing the dunk tank on Wednesday.
I think Chris is right. Phoenix is where you should put boots on
tomorrow.
The ground.
Tomorrow? Yeah.
Like, tomorrow, yeah, I'm flying.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tony, you're flying out of town tomorrow.
Like, I'm
the
being...
What's happening here?
I'm leaving post-show tomorrow, going to the airport, and then being back for the show on Thursday, bright and early.
Are we all just surprised that this show used to be a marching band to nowhere, and now... In 72 hours,
marches
we have
everywhere.
Tickets booked to Milwaukee.
I'm not convinced this is going to be anything other than Tony and Amin drinking at a bar in Milwaukee.
Don't take the fill with beer.
Hold on a second. Relax. And don't let the cat out of the bag here. Come on.